Erroneous Teaching Regarding Holy Flesh, 1907. During the General Conference of 1901, instruction was given me in regard to the experience of some of our brethren in Indiana, and regarding the doctrines they had been teaching in the churches. I was shown that through this experience and the doctrines taught, the enemy has been working to lead souls astray. The teaching given in regard to what is called holy flesh is an error. All may now obtain holy hearts, but it is not correct to claim in this life to have holy flesh. The Apostle Paul declares, "I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Romans 7, verse 18. To those who have tried by faith to obtain so-called holy flesh, I would say, you cannot obtain it. Not a soul of you has holy flesh now. No human being on the earth has holy flesh. It is an impossibility. If those who speak so freely of perfection in the flesh could see things in the true light, they would recoil in horror from their presumptuous ideas. In showing their fallacy of their assumptions in regard to holy flesh, the Lord is seeking to prevent men and women from putting on His words a construction which leads to pollution of body, soul, and spirit. Let this phase of doctrine be carried a little further, and it will lead to the claim that its advocates cannot sin, that since they have holy flesh, their actions are all holy. What a door of temptation would thus be opened! The Scriptures teach us to seek to God for the sanctification of body, soul, and spirit. In this work, we are to be laborers together with God. Much may be done to restore the moral image of God in man, to improve the physical, mental, and moral capabilities. Great changes can be made in the physical system by obeying the laws of God and bringing into the body nothing that defiles. And while we cannot claim perfection of the flesh, we may have Christian perfection of the soul. Through the sacrifice made in our behalf, sins may be perfectly forgiven. Our dependence is not in what man can do, it is in what God can do through Christ. When we surrender ourselves wholly to God and fully believe, the blood of Christ cleanses from all sin. The conscience can be freed from condemnation. Through faith in His blood, all can be made perfect in Christ Jesus. Thank God that we are not dealing with impossibilities. We may claim sanctification. We may enjoy the favor of God. We are not to be anxious about what Christ and God think of us, but of what God thinks of Christ, our substitute. Ye are accepted in the Beloved. The Lord shows to the repenting, believing one that Christ accepts the surrender of the soul, to be molded and fashioned after His own likeness. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as ye see the day approaching. Hebrews 10, verse 19-25. I have been instructed to say to those who are advocating this strange doctrine, you are giving a wrong mold to the precious and important work of God. Keep within the bounds of the Bible. Take Christ's lessons and repeat them over and over again. Remember that the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. James 3, verse 17-18. When human beings receive holy flesh, they will not remain on the earth, but will be taken to heaven. While sin is forgiven in this life, its results are not wholly removed. It is at His coming that Christ is to change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. Philippians 3, verse 21. When Christ shall come with a great sound of a trumpet, and shall call the dead from their prison house, then the saints will receive holy flesh. Then this mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruptible shall put on incorruption. Then Christ will be admired in all them that believe. He will see of the travail of his soul, and will be satisfied. Then will break forth from immortal beings the song of triumph, "Worthy, worthy is the Lamb." Revelation 5, verse 12. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 12, verse 28-29. Those who meet Christ in peace at His coming must in this life walk before Him in humility, meekness, and lowliness of mind. It becomes every human being to walk modestly and circumspectly before God, in harmony with the great testing truths He has given to the world. But the late experience of the brethren in Indiana has not been in accordance with the Lord's instruction. In the past, such sentiments have led to very sad results. In the period of disappointment after the passing of the time in 1844, fanaticism in various forms arose. Some held that the resurrection of the righteous dead had already taken place. They declared that they were perfected, that body, soul, and spirit were holy. They made strange demonstrations and confused their own minds and the minds of others by their wonderful suppositions. Yet these persons were our beloved brethren, and we were longing to help them. I went to their meetings. There was much excitement, with noise and confusion. One could not tell what was piped or what was harped. Some appeared to be in vision and fell to the floor. Others were jumping, dancing, and shouting. They declared that as their flesh was purified, they were ready for translation. This they repeated again and again. I bore my testimony in the name of the Lord, placing His rebuke upon these manifestations. Some who had engaged in these movements were brought to their right mind and saw their delusion. Some had been excellent, honest people, but they thought that sanctified flesh could not sin, and thus they had been taken in Satan's trap. They had carried their strong ideas so far that they became a reproach to the precious cause of God. Some repented and were afterward numbered among our most reliable men and women. But there were others who ever after walked in sadness. They could not feel that they were worthy to work for the Master, whose precious cause they had so greatly dishonored. Many such movements will arise when the Lord's work should stand elevated, pure, unadulterated with superstition and fables. We need to be on our guard to maintain a close connection with Christ, that we be not deceived by Satan's devices. The Lord desires to have in His service order and discipline, not excitement and confusion. We are not now able to describe with accuracy the scenes to be enacted in our world in the future, but this we do know, that this is a time when we must watch unto prayer, for the great day of the Lord is at hand. Satan is rallying his forces. We need to be thoughtful and quiet and to contemplate the truths of Revelation. Excitement is not favorable to growth in grace, to true purity and sanctification of the Spirit. God wants us to deal with sacred truth. This alone will convince the gainsayer. Calm, sensible labor must be put forth to convince souls of their condition, to show them the character building which must be carried on if a beautiful structure is raised to the Lord. Minds that are awakened must be patiently instructed if they rightly understand and duly appreciate the truths of the Word. God calls upon His people to walk with sobriety and holy consistency. They should be very careful not to misrepresent and dishonor the holy doctrines of truth by strange performances, by confusion and tumult. By this, unbelievers are led to believe that Seventh-day Adventists are a set of fanatics. Thus, prejudice is created that prevents souls from receiving the message for this time. When believers speak the truth as it is in Jesus, they reveal a holy, sensible calm, not a storm of confusion. There are few who really taste the sweets of communion with the risen Savior. All are too largely occupied with the things of this earth. Worldly things are too much thought of and talked of. We are too well satisfied with breathing the atmosphere of earth. Self is too often consulted, and it sways the perception and judgment into wrong channels. There must be more beholding of our Savior and more talking of heavenly things. Our secular work must be done, but every business transaction needs the closest criticism, else we shall find interwoven with it threads of selfishness, and it will become a snare to our feet. The Lord will not serve with our sins. There is no virtue in judging others. Our time and work are too important for this. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Study James 1, verse 19 to 27, and Colossians 2, verse 1 to 10, also Titus 2, verse 1 to 8. The work of self-examination must go forward. When Christ is enshrined in our hearts, we have reached the position which God desires us to occupy. The examples and lessons of Christ are to be our study. For in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we are to move onward and upward. And who can describe the benefits of appreciating Him who is invisible? We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, from character to character, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. We need to contemplate Christ and become assimilated to His image through the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. This is our only safeguard against being entangled in Satan's delusive snares.